Today's shir is Masechta Yevamah Daf Dalet. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach Daf Gimel Amud Bey, six lines from the bottom. So as we've been learning in the Mishnah, then continued learning in the Gemara, that a woman who's an erva to the brother who died without children is not a candidate for Yibam because she's an erva. And as we learned, because the Torah says Oleha, and we learn from that word that such a woman is not a candidate for Yibam. Ask the Gemara, Tam de Kos Rachman Oleha. Only because the Torah used the word Oleha, is she not a candidate for Yibam? Halav Hachi, if not for that issue, Hava Mina Chos Isha Miyama. We would say that even though the sister-in-law who falls for Yibam to the brother-in-law is his wife's sister, she should still be a candidate for Yibam. But ask the Gemara, my Tama, why would we think that that should be acceptable? Because we would say that the essay of Yibum is Daicha Delois essay of Achais Isha. But ask the Gemara, Amram Darmin and Asi Essay Vidaicha Lois essay, ask the Gemara, when does their halacha that essay Daicha Lois essay? That's in a situation of Loisos Greda, when there's an essay and there's a Lois essay, and now the question is, that the essay is stronger than the lois essay, as we're going to explain in a moment. But here, an achais isha is not your typical lois essay. It's a lois essay sheesh bekaris. It's a lois essay where violating the lois essay involves a chiyuv karis. And in such a situation, the Gemara suggests that do we say midachi? Do we say essay doicha lois essay? So Taisus right away asks the question, well, why don't we use yibum as the raya that essay is doicha lois essay under all circumstances, because as we keep on explaining, a woman who is a sister-in-law is an achais isha. It's a high-level erva, and yet the yibam applies. So Taisus answers, when we say essay doicha lois essay, it means we have a dilemma. Should we do the essay doicha lois essay? If we're going to say that we don't say essay doicha lois essay, then we'll never have a situation where we could do Yibam. Because Yibam, by definition, is being done with a sister-in-law. In a case where, by not saying Essay Doicha Lois Essay, that entire mitzvah will fall away, of course we say Essay Doicha Lois Essay. But like the example of our Gemara, where the sister-in-law happens to be a Chais Isha, and not in all circumstances is your sister-in-law your wife's sister. There, who says, when it's a Lois Essay that carries a punishment of kares, do we say essay doicha lois essay? So our Gemara here has introduced the concept of essay doicha lois essay. And the Rishonim already debate what is the basis for essay doicha lois essay. The Ramban says that a mitzvah essay is based on ahava. Somebody who does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do the mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does it out of ahava, does it out of love to Hashem. Mitzvahs lois essay are done based on yira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me not to do something. We fear him. He told us not to do it. It's an aveira. And he says that throughout halacha, we know that a hava is greater than yira. A hava Hashem is a higher madrega than yira Hashem. And that's why essay doicha lois essay. But that does not mean, explain the achronim in understanding the opinion of the Ramban, that the punishment for violating an essay is greater than the punishment for violating a lois essay. Because these are two separate concepts. One is the concept of what should I preferably do? Should I preferably do the mitzvah essay or avoid doing the mitzvah lois essay? So that's when the Ramban says, ahava outweighs yira. But when it comes to violating, of course, the punishment for lois essay is doicha lois essay. But then there's a different approach that the Rebbeinu Nissengum Gaon suggests. He says that even though the Torah, of course, says various lavin, the Torah did not say the lav when if I don't violate the law, I won't be able to fulfill an essay. In other words, The Rebbeinu Nissim Goyim has a much more fundamental explanation. He says, even though there is a lav, the lav doesn't apply in the place where it will mean that you won't be able to fulfill the essay. Under such circumstances, the Torah never said that you have to do the mitzvah essay. And this question is a very fundamental question, this approach and understanding essay d'echalais essay. And really, it's a question that we find often in Shas. Often in Shas we find, for example, we know there's halacha tumah hutra b'tzibur. Tumah hutra b'tzibur teaches us that if the tzibur is tameh, we could bring the carbon anyway. If most of the tzibur is tameh, we bring the carbon Pesach on Pesach Rishon anyway. But the question is, how do we look at that? Do we look at it as dechuya, that it's something we do reluctantly, or hutra? Another very common example we speak about is if we have a situation of pikuach nefesh and Shabbos. And of course we know for pikuach nefesh, we're allowed to do whatever we need to do. The question is that hutra? It's something that's completely mutter. The Isser Shabbos, the Isser Chil Shabbos was not set in a place of pikuach nefesh, or is it the chuya? It's something that we do reluctantly. It could well be that is the machlokes of the Ramban and Rabbi Nissim Goyim. Ramban holds, yes, there's a concept of a Havas Hashem, there's a concept of Yiras Hashem, and what a Havas Hashem teaches us that it's more important a Havas Hashem than Yiras Hashem. But of course, if I could fulfill both, then I should do both. Rabbeinu Nissim Goyim, on the other hand, says, there is no lav under such a circumstance. There's not a question, I have to make a choice. There's no choice that needs to be made because there is no lav under such circumstances. Where would there be another case where this is most relevant to? The question is, we know, Esse is doicha loisa say, as our Gemara just said. However, on the other hand, ain't Esse doicha loisa say vasei. If you have an essay on one hand, and on the other hand you have a loisa save an essay, there the essay is not doichet. And the simple explanation, because even if the essay is doichet the loisa say, you're still left with another essay preventing you from fulfilling this mitzvah essay. So now the question is, somebody did the essay, which was versus an loisa save essay. Will it be considered that he violated a loisa say? If we follow the opinion of the Ramban, perhaps you won't be over the Lois Essay. Because the Essay is always stronger than the Lois Essay. A Hava is always stronger than Yira. Yes, you shouldn't have done it, because you're still left with violating an Essay, so it's still a Hava against a Hava. But still, so the halacha is that in a place where you have to choose between a Hava and Yira, choose a Hava and there is no Yira. But according to Rabbeinu Nissim Goyim, that Essay Doicha Lois Essay means to teach us that the Lois Essay was not given in a place where it means violating an essay. According to that, and that's only where the Lois Essay was not said, where there's an essay versus that Lois Essay. But if that's not the type of Lois Essay, because that Lois Essay carries within an essay, so then the Lois Essay remains in such a case. There is no condition that the Lois Essay falls away. And since there is no condition that the Lois Essay falls away, it could be that one who would violate such an essay, it's not only considered that he violated a mitzvah essay, he also violated a mitzvah Lois Essay, as well. I saw that the Tver Shloima, in his explaining this concept of Ase Ese V'doicha Lois Essay, if somebody is doing a mitzvah, and while he's doing the mitzvah, he starts thinking, who am I? How am I to be fulfilling a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'm a person who has done Averis. Teaches us the Torah. Teaches us the Gemara. Ase Ese. When you're doing a mitzvah essay, all you should be thinking about is the mitzvah essay. And don't think about the lois essay. At that time, don't think about your averus. Focus on the mitzvah that you're supposed to do at this time. But in discussing this halacha of us as the doicha of lois essay, The question is, the Gemara said that by Yibum, we're having a discussion, the essay of Yibum is Doicha de Loisa Say. And as we quoted Tosfos, even though it's a Loisa Say Sheyesh Bekaris, she's an Ashes Ach, but the essay is Doicha de Loisa Say. And as we explained, Tosfos said, even though it has Karis, otherwise we would never be able to do the mitzvah. So the question that the Rishonim and Achronim discuss, when we speak about the mitzvah of Yibum, is the mitzvah of Yibum only on the Yavam, or is the mitzvah of Yibum on the Yavam as well? And we seemingly have a raya from our Gemara that the mitzvah is on the Yavam as well. The Yavam is allowed to do Yibum, even though it involves having relations with an Eishes Ach, because Asi Esei V'Doicha Loisa Esei. But if the woman is not obligated, so she has a Loisa Esei of Eishes Ach. And if we're saying that the mitzvah of Yibum doesn't apply to her, so then how is she allowed to have relations with the Yavam? It must be that the mitzvah of Yibum is not only on the husband, on the Yavam, but the mitzvah of Yibum is on the wife as on the Yavama as well. And therefore, just like for him, Asse Deichel Loisa Say, so too for her, Asse V'Deichel Loisa Say. However, not all the Achroinim are agreeable. They agree, they say that there's a mitzvah. And since there's a mitzvah, the Torah knew that she is an Eishes Ach. So the Torah says that included in the din that he's allowed to have relations with her, it included in that is she's allowed to have relations with him. And I think it means much more fundamental. What it means to say is, as we've been saying in our shiurim, in a place where there's a mitzvah of Yibum, she's not considered an Eishes Ach. So what's our concern? Well, he could have relations with her because Esa Doicha Loisa Say. But how does that give her a right to have relations with him? The reason it gives her a right to have relations with him is because she's not considered an Eishes Ach. When the Torah says there's a mitzvah of Yibum, what the Torah is saying is that when the Torah says there's a mitzvah of Yibum, what the Torah is saying is that she's not an Eishes Ach. And if the Torah is saying she's not an Eishes Ach, so then she's not doing any Aveira when she's having relations with him. Which really opens up a very interesting question. And the question actually goes, frankly, in two directions. I saw the Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in his Sefer Cheshukei Chema discusses. He says, let's say there's a man, Rachman Slan, who's not married and doesn't have any children. And he's very sick. He's about to expire and leave the world. Is there a reason that that man should get married in order that we should be able to do the mitzvah Yibum on his wife? If we're saying that Yibum is such an important mitzvah and that Yibum is a taiva, is such a great opportunity for the neshama of the person who's leaving the world, maybe this person should go out of his way to get married, that his wife should be a candidate for Yibum. So actually, we discussed this somewhat in our previous year. Because in our previous year, we discussed Machloikis of the Chachamim and Abishol, what is the preferable mitzvah, Yibum or Chalitza? So if we say that Chalitza is the preferable mitzvah, as Abishol said in our previous year, certainly there's no point in him getting married. Only if we follow the opinion of the Chachamim, who hold that Yibum is the greater mitzvah, then maybe there's a point that one should specifically get married. But then, he quotes an interesting Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer discusses a situation where there's a man who's married, doesn't have any children, and he's very, very ill. And it's Shavuos. And we're not quite certain that he's going to make it till after Yontif. And the question is, on the second day Yontif in Chutz Laaretz, should we allow a get to be written, it's Yontif Sheni, in order to save this woman from having to require Yibum Chalitza? And of course he says that for sure we have no right to be Michal Yontif to write a get. But he says, but what about, well, it's not Yontif. Is it better to get divorced and save the wife from having Yibum Chalitza, we don't do Yibum from having Chalitza, or not divorce her and she'll have at least Chalitza. So he said that, so this child's a Chuvas, Chuvas and Haggis for a Moshe Sternbach, Chalik Aleph, Simon Tufsha Tzadik Beis, says that of course we should try not to give a get. In other words, if there's a circumstance where we're concerned that this woman will not get chalitza from a brother-in-law, so of course a get should be given, because we don't want to leave this woman in a guna. But in a case where chalitza will be given, even though it's not necessarily a comfortable experience, the halacha is that he should make chalitza. And in fact, he quotes a story from one of the big Talmidei Chachamim, who unfortunately never had children, and he was very sick, and the only brother he had was irreligious. And there were many people that suggested that they should that she should write a get, because who knows what's going to happen with his wife if his brother, who's irreligious, is not going to want to do chalitza. So this great goyim said, no, I refuse, I don't want to write the get. He says, the chalitza that will be done with my widow is a tremendous tikkun, is a tremendous favor for my neshama. Let's not get divorced. And I am sure that even though my brother is irreligious, he's going to be sensitive enough to recognize that I was religious. He's going to be sensitive enough to realize that my widow needs a chalitza, that it's a taiva for my neshama, and that's actually what happened. Says the Gemara, the Sue. So as we have now discussed, the Gemara has established the concept of Eser Doicha Lo Sasei. Ask the Gemara, Lo Sasei Greda, when it's just an Lo Sasei, without a Lav, Menolon, from where do we know that Eser Doicha Lo Sasei? Because as the Rishonim point out, at first glance, we ought not to say Eser Doicha Lo Sasei, because as we said earlier in our shir, the Lo Sasei carries a punishment. Malchus, an essay doesn't carry a punishment. So why do we say essay doichalaisesay? Answers the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, Lysilba Shatnas, Tzemro Pishtin Yachtov, the Torah prohibits us from wearing Shatnas. And then the Torah says, Gedilim Tasaloch al Abu Kabas Kasuscha Ashtachasaba. So the Torah put these two parashas together, that even though by making the tzitzis, I will be over shatness. I'm going to put wool tzitzis on a linen beged. The Torah says that the mitzvah of tzitzis is doicha, the mitzvah of loisasei. Vamar Belazar, and Belazar points out, how did we learn this? Because the Torah put these two together. And says Belazar, where do we know that the fact that the Torah put two parshias next to each other is a raya that we should learn from that? Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, the fact that the Torah put these two psukim together is not coincidental. They're put together for a reason that we should learn one, that they should be learned one from the other. Says the Gemara, the Amar of Sheshes, Amar Blazman, Shimmer Blazman Azaria. Menain Levama, Shnuffle of Name Mukushkin. From where do we know that if Yavama, Rahman al Tzlan, fell to a brother who was very diseased, Shain Chaisman, I saw, we don't force her to have Yibam with such an individual. And according to Rashi, not only don't we force her to have Yibam with that individual, we force him to do Chalitza, says the Gemara. Because if we look in the order of the Psukim, the Torah, even an animal we have to be careful not to muzzle. And the Torah next to it puts, Kiyeshva Achim Yachtov. The Torah is putting them together to teach us that even though there's a halacha of Yibum, even though there's a halacha of Yibum, not at the woman's terrible expense. So Rishonim ask, how can we learn from Tzitzis that Tzitzis is Doicha Klayim? The mitzvah tzitzis is such a serious mitzvah. The Gemara says that tzitzis is shokel k'neged kol ha'Torah kula.
So Rambat answers that even though tzitzis is considered such a significant mitzvah, and the Gemara tells us that it's such an important mitzvah, it doesn't mean that that has halachic consequence. We can't just give halachic consequence because the Torah says so, says that tzitzis, because the Gemara says, because Chazal teaches that tzitzis is so important. And it must be because of essay doicha loisasei. And there's a very big chiddush here, because there are many mitzvahs that are chiyuvim, the mitzvahs that we're obligated to do. And a person is obligated to put on tefillin every day. The mitzvah of tzitzis technically is only a mitzvah that if somebody is wearing a garment with four corners, he has to put on tzitzis. But you're not obligated to put on a beged with four corners. The Gemara says in Masechet Menachos, Be'idin Ritzcha, in a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset, he punishes people for not wearing tzitzis. But it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis. So here we see that not only by mitzvah chiyuvis, says Rabbi Chanan Vassiman Zatzal, is there a concept of Esed Doicha Lois to say, but says Rabbi Chanan that even by mitzvah chiyuvis, there's a mitzvah, we say Esed Doicha Lois to say. But then, the Shalos HaTshuvos Bris Avram asks a question. How can we use this mitzvah of tzitzis as a raya that Esei is doicha loisasei? We know, mitzvah slav lehenes nitnu. When somebody's wearing tzitzis, he's not doing it because he wants to have pleasure. He's wearing tzitzis because he's obligated to wear tzitzis. So if that's the case, why is this a raya that we say Esed Doicha Loisasei? Maybe we're saying Esed Doicha Loisasei because I'm not really having pleasure. When is there an Isser of Shatnas? The Isser of Shatnas is when I'm having pleasure, as we're going to learn from the garment that is Shatnas that I am wearing. But here I'm only wearing this garment because I'm obligated. So it's Mitzvah Slav Lahanas Nitnu. So the stipel answers that when you have a beged that's made out of klayim, the beged is a piece of Isser. And the beged is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is on the tzitzis. The beged is not the mitzvah. And therefore, the fact that we see that you still say Esed Doicha Loisasei is a raya that we say Esed Doicha Loisasei even when, under all circumstances, and we can't say mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. The question, and we'll discuss this question later, even though our Gemara is teaching us that Esed Doicha Loisasei means that we're allowed to take the strands of woolen strands and tie them to a linen beged. But what about if the beged itself is shatnas? What's going to be the halacha there? Do we still say Esed Doicha Loisasei? The halacha is that there we don't say Esed Doicha Loisasei, which opens up, and of course you're not allowed to have the actual beged that you're putting the tzitzis on be a combination of tzemer upishtin. And in fact, it's a very interesting shaila that the Paiskim discuss. The Paiskim discuss the halacha is by sukkos. The Torah says v'chag sukkos tassel lecha, and from there we learn the din of tassel v'loy menasui, that if when you put the tzchach on your sukkah, it was not a kosher sukkah. The best example is that let's say your sukkah is under a tree. So we know, of course, a sukkah tachas ilon, a sukkah under a tree is not a kosher sukkah. So let's say when you put the schach on top of your sukkah, it was under a tree. And then afterwards, you cut the branches from those trees. That sukkah is not kosher, it's tasa v'loi menosun. The Torah, when it speaks about the mitzvah tzitzis, also says, G'dilim tasaloch al abris kanfes tzuscha. So now the question is, what would be the halacha that you had a garment that was made out of wool and linen, and you put tzitzis on it? And as we just said a moment ago, the garment is not allowed to be shatnas. So you'll take out the linen from that garment, you'll take the wool out of that garment. Will that be considered a case of tassav loy menosui, and you would have to take off the tzitzis and put them on again? So most achroinim b'kiveg discusses this, and most achroinim are of the opinion that that would not be a problem tassav loy menosui. The tzitzis you put on are fine. The beged has a side issue that has wool in it, that has linen in it that I have to remove. It's not like the sukkah, which is a disqualified sukkah. And that's why Rabbi Akiva Eiger holds that you would not have to retie the tzitzis. Prima Gadim disagrees, and the Prima Gadim says that you would have to retie the tzitzis. It would also still be included in the category of tasa v'loy mina asui. The Mefarshim point out, I saw that the Gemara just said, "Nine levam shnaflof nei mukushkin shein chayis min aysoi." So I saw that the Achronim suggest that what's the basis of this limud? Because the halacha is, we're going to learn a mitzvah Shem, in Masech the Gittin, that not only a Yavama who falls to a Yavam who's a Mukushchin is not obligated to have Yibam, but any marriage where you have a situation where the husband gets diseased to such a degree, the halacha is that she's not obligated to remain with him. So from here we see that a Yavama, who's not even married to him at this point, is not obligated to have Yibam. But as I said, there's a machloikis rishonim. Rashi says that not only can he not force her to do Yibam, but we could force him to do chalitza. The other rishonim disagree that the Rashba holds that we can't force him to do chalitza. We could prevent him from doing Yibam, but we can't force him to do Chalitza. And the Rashbi even suggests that a Chalitza b'kfiyah, if Chalitza was done under duress, it's a disqualified Chalitza. V'amar Rabbi Yosef, afil man da'amar, even according to the opinion, the loy dar smuchim ba'alma, the b'chol ha'tar kula does not learn smuchim, but mishnah tar darsh. He says, a Mishnah Torah, he will learn Smuchim. And I saw the Raivan explains. Because B'chol HaTorah Kula was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have very often the rule when we learn Chumash, Eim Mugdim Ba'ochim B'Torah. But when we speak about Mishnah Torah was given and composed by Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu deliberately wrote what he wrote in the order that he wrote. And therefore, even though B'chol HaTorah Kula, Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't say smuchim, because of Eim Mugdim Mu'uchim B'Torah. By Mishnah Torah, just like there is no rule in Mishnah Torah of Eim Mugdim Mu'uchim B'Torah, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that in Mishnah Torah we explain smuchim. Says the Gemara. And the Gemara proves its point. Rabbi Yehuda ba'amaloi darish, Rabbi Yehuda and the rest of the Torah does not learn smuchim, and Mishnah Torah darish, and the Mishnah Torah does learn smuchim. Ask the Gemara, but I'm no longer like Darsh. And from where do we know that in the rest of the Torah he doesn't learn Smuchim? The Tanya ben Azay Omer. The Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, Machshefa lo yisachaya. Machshefa should not be allowed to let live. But the Torah doesn't identify what kind of Chiyam Misa does a Machshefa have. But Nemar, but the Torah next to this says, Koshaychef Mechaheimah Mosh Yumas. The Torah puts next to this the issa for bestiality. Samcha inyaloi. The Torah put these two parshas together to teach us. Mashaychem behema beskila. If somebody does that, he's chayv skila. From here, af machshefa beskila. Amalai Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Ben Azai, v'chim emneisha samcha inyaloi. Because these two parshas are next to each other, noitzi zela skila, are we going to give this person skila? Ella, how do we know, says Rabbi Yehuda, that Machshefa is Chayv Skila? Says Rabbi Yehuda, Oiv V'Yedoni, which are different types of sorcerers, B'chlal Kol Machshefim Hayo, are considered in the category of Machshefa. V'lama Yatsu, but the Torah singles them out. The Pasuk says, V'isha Isha, Kiyibam Oiv V'Yedoni, Mois Yumosu, Be'evin Yirgmu Oisam Demein Bom. The Torah singles them out. And not only does the Torah single them out, the Torah clearly indicates that there's a chi of skila for Oivi Yadoni. For Lama Yatsu, why were they singled out? Lakish Lahem. To compare all the other machshefim to them. The loymelach to teach us mav oiv yedoni, just like an oiv yedoni is chayiv skila. Af kol machshefa b'skila. That's how Rabbi Yehuda learns that a machshefa is chayiv skila, and he did not learn it from the fact that it's put next to shaychiv and behema, from the fact that it's next to that. Ubemishta tarim nolan. Even though we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda does not learn smuchim b'chalat Torah kula, we are learning that in Mishnah Torah he does. Says the Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us nice adam nusus aviv mefutus aviv. A person can marry a woman who was violated or seduced by the father. Even though the Torah is, the halacha is, you can't marry a woman who was your father's wife. The pasuk says, Ervas Ashes Avicha Lai Sagala, but Ishus means if they were married. Anusus Aviv, Mefutus Aviv, they were never married. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Anusus Benoi, Futus Benoi. Somebody is not allowed to may marry a woman who was violated or seduced by his son. Because again, the Torah says, Ervas Kaloska Lai Sagala. Kaloska means your daughter-in-law, a woman who was married to your son. But if she wasn't married to your son, there is no Isser. Rabbi Yehuda Isser ben Nusus Aviv ben Mefutus Aviv. Rabbi Yehuda says that even though the Nusus Aviv and Mefutus Aviv are not in the category of Eishes Avicha, you still may not marry them. V'omer v'gidl omerab ma'itam Rabbi Yehuda. Where does Rabbi Yehuda take this halach from? Because he says, the pasuk says, the ksiv, lo yigal ishes, lo yikach ishes Eishes Aviv, v'lo yigal knaf Aviv. And then the pasuk says, so it says, Knaf Shira Aviv, any woman that your father had relations with, Lo Yugala, you may not marry. Ask the Gemara, Omai, how do we know about Nusuksif? From where do we take that Knaf Aviv means the woman that was violated by your father? Says the Gemara, because we look at the Elui Dekra, we look at the previous Pasuk. The previous Pasuk, the Ksiv, V'nosan Isha Shaykh V'mar Lavia Nara, Chamishas Kasif. The Pasuk speaks about a situation of a rape. So we see that since the Torah puts the parsha of Anusa next to this parsha of Knaf Aviv, that's a raya that pasuk is talking about Anusa. And from here we're seeing that a woman who was Anusa's Aviv, you may not marry. And the Rishonim point out that even though that's only talking about Anusa, but Rabbi Yehuda said that not only may you not marry Anusa's Aviv, you're also not allowed to marry Mefutas Aviv, explained the Rishonim that once we're saying that Knaf Aviv means that any woman with whom your father had relations, even though your father wasn't married to that woman, is in the category of Knaf Aviv. So we understand to extend that not just Hanusus Aviv, we also know to extend it to Mefutas Aviv as well. The Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they say that there is no Isser to marry a Nusus Aviv Mefutus Aviv. Rabbi Yehuda has a very compelling argument by saying the fact that there's the Smuchim, that's a Rai, the Knaf Aviv means a Nusus Aviv. And says the Gemara in explaining the opinion of the Rabbanan, if Lo Yigal Knaf Aviv would be right after the halacha of a Nusa Krikamrit, your argument would be a strong argument. Hashta delay samachlei, but now where the pasuk is not right next to it, because between the loyigal knaf aviv and the halacha of anusa, there are the words of loyikach ishus ishus aviv. There's the words about marrying your wife, your father's wife. So it's not a case of smuchim, and we're going to say the legal knaf aviv is referring to a different situation altogether. It's talking about b'shemeres yovim makos medaber. It's talking about your uncle's, your father's brother's wife that died. He died without children, so this woman is a shemeres yovim to your father. Your father is supposed to do yibim with this woman, his sister-in-law, and the Torah is teaching us that the son is not allowed to marry her. Now, the truth of the matter, the Gemara says now, this woman who's waiting to have Yibum is not allowed to marry anyone. Because as we're going to be discussing in this Masechta, the halacha is that a Shemeres Yavim, A woman who's waiting to have Yibum may not marry anyone else. Because the Torah says, Loisia Eishes HaMesha Chutzah Lizor. She only may marry the Yavama. So why does the Torah have to tell us that her nephew, the Yavam, the potential Yavam's son, is now to marry her? Tells us the Gemara that the reason we're learning that what the Pasuk is doing with this Loigal Knaf Avav is to teach us Lava La B'Shnei Lavim, that not only if the nephew marries her, is she over the Lav, which is when one is always over when a Shemeris Yavam is married, but she's also over an extra Lav because when she marries her nephew of Loigala Knaf Avav. Ask the Gemara, Mishnah Torah, my time darish. Even though, as we've been learning in the other Chumashim, Rabbi Yehuda does not learn Smuchim, in Mishnah Torah he does. But now the Gemara identifies under which circumstances does he learn Smuchim in Mishnah Torah. Ibai Seimah Mishun Demuchach, when the Pasuk is not in the place where it belongs. So the fact that the Pasuk was put where it doesn't belong is clearly an indication that we should learn Smuchim. V'ibay say Mishum de Mifni. If there are extra words in the Pasuk, why are the extra words here? To teach us that we should learn Smuchim. And the Gemara explains itself. Ibay say Mishum de Muchach. Dim kein, if the fact that it's not in the place where it ought to be, dim kein, the Torah should have written Loigala Knaf Aviv, Lichter Rachmana Gabarayas. It should have been included with all the other arayas that the Torah speaks about. Why was this put here? To teach us the concept of Anusas Aviv. Vibay Sem Mishun Demifni. Dim Kain, if it should be adequate, Lichter Rachmana Leikach Ishes Ashes Aviv. Why did the Torah have to add the words Loigal Knaf Aviv Lomeli? Why did the Torah have to add those words? To tell us Shmamino Lefnuye, there are extra words, and the extra words are here for the purpose that we shall learn Smuchim. Says the Gemara, now that we have established that we only could say Smuchim where it's either Muchach or Mufni, so now the Gemara says, we go back to the beginning of the Shir. Towards the beginning of the Shir, the Aloch we learned was that somebody is not allowed to, that we know Esed Doichalesa say, from Klein Betzitzis. Says the Gemara, the Gab Betzitzis, when we look at that parish as well, Ibay Seh Mishun de Muchach, Ibay Seh Mishun de Mufna. We could also suggest that those Psukim are either Muchach or Mufna. Ibay Seh Mishun Muchach, how could we say Muchach? Dim Kain, the Torah should have said, Lichter Rechmano, the Torah should have said, Daloch of Gedilim Tasaloch, Gavi Parsha Tzitzis, together with the rest of the Parsha Tzitzis and Parsha Shlach. Lamai Kasvei Hocha, why was it put over here next to the Parsha of Klayim? To teach us the concept of Esed Eichelaisesei. Vibayasei Mishim de Muchna. Michti, Kskosov, the Torah says in Parsha Kedoshim, Ubege Klayim Shatnes Lo Yalalecha. Lo Silba Shatnes. Why did the Torah over here have to write the words Lesilba Shatnes? We already know that one may not wear Shatnes. Shmamino Lefnuye. So he said that the reason is Mufcha Mufni. But ask the Gemara, Hani Mitzvah Tzurchi. Both parshias of the Shatnes are necessary. Because, says the Gemara, Ikas Rachmana, if the Torah would have just written Layala Lecha, that one may not have shatness on them, have a meaning, we would assume that kol derech halah os rachmana, that you're never allowed to wear shatness, afilu machrik sus. If somebody is wearing, as a salesperson in a store, and they're selling a suit which is shatness, the Torah is telling us that you can't put on, we would think that just to show how the suit looks is also because of shatness. Kos rachmana, that's what the Torah said, lo silba shatness. Dumi de Levisha, only a Levisha de Ispe Hano, only in a Levisha that you have pleasure, that's when it's an Issa Shatnes. And on the other hand, because Rachmana Le Silbash, have me the Dafka Levisha de Nofish Chenyoso, only by wearing it is there an Issa Shatnes. Avla Lo, when you put it on you, even though you're having benefit, but you're not wearing it, you have a blanket that is Shatnes. So you're not wearing the blanket, you're just covering yourself with the blanket. Maybe we would say there's no Issa Shatnes. So if that's the case, there is no extra word by shatness. We're saying the reason we can learn Esed Daichalaisa say by shatness is because there's an extra word. But the way we just explained that Loyala Lecha or Loy Silbash is coming to teach us that you are allowed to wear it if you're not having a knob, but you're not allowed to put it on you, even if you're not wearing it, if you have pleasure. So where's the extra word? Imkain, says the Gemara, if there is indeed an extra word. Lichta rechmana, loisil b'shatnas. Indeed, we need the words loisil b'shatna. But why, says the Gemara, semra pishtin lamali. Why did the Torah have to add the word semra pishtin? To teach us, michti, to teach us, kasa begish b'klaim shatnas lo yal alecha. V'tana b'ri v'shmona v'shmol teaches us, hoyal v'nemra b'tayra stam b'godim. The Torah says the word beged, garment. And the Torah does not identify what type of garment we're talking about. But when the Torah speaks about nigei begodim, the Torah, when it speaks about garments getting a nega, says tsemer upishtin. Because the pasuk says, v'beged kiyig by neged tsras, v'beged tsemer v'beged pishtin. So we see from there, the definition of beged is always tsemer upishtin. So when the Torah says shatness, by beged of shatness, we know it must be tsemer shatness. Because it must be beged or tsemer or pishtin. Because that's the only type of material, those are the only types of materials that are in the category of beged. Tsemer pishtin, the kasra rachman alamali. So why did the Torah have to say again tsemer pishtin? Shema mina. Now we see lefnuye, that's coming here to teach us that they're extra, to teach us that we should learn smuchim. But says the Gemara, akate etzroch, I'll make an argument that the Torah had to single out semra pishtin. Sakatat chamina, halo hidaloy fishanoso. When you're just putting it on and you're not wearing it, so it doesn't represent that much benefit, that's where it's only tsemru pishtan at also. Avalavisha, when you're putting it on as a garment, the nafesh hanosu, which represents much pleasure, there perhaps, kol trei mini, any two different types of material, osu rachmana, will be in the category of shatness. That's why kas rachmana, tsemru pishtan. So that's why the Torah had to say tsemru pishtan, that shatness, in any form of shatness, is only tsemru pishtan. So if that's the case, we're back to where we started. Tsemer or pishtin are not superfluous. If tsemer or pishtin are not superfluous, how could I use, and we always need to have mufna, we always need to have an extra word to be able to learn, smuchim, how can we learn smuchim here? Says the Gemara, im kain, lishta kramina, the Torah shouldn't have to say shatnas, the tsemer or pishtin, v'taisi, shatnas, shatnas, malah. The Torah says, A beged climb shatnas loyal alecha. And we would learn that just like there, since the Torah uses the word beged, it means semru pishtin. I would learn the same here, it means shatnas. Why did the Torah have to write semru pishtin? To make extra words, to be able to learn smuchim. Says the Gemara, Tana debate Rishmal, Tam de kutz rachmana, semru pishtin. Only because the Torah used the word semru pishtin, extra words, we can now learn smuchim. If not for that, tzitzis have minit as rachmana. We would say that tzitzis can't be shatnas. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that? For ksiv, doesn't the pasuk say v'aslam tzitzel kanfei bigdayim tanit bei Rishmo kol begodim? We just learned that Rishmo teaches us that all begodim are tzemru pishtenhein are either made out of linen or out of wool. And the Torah says that we have to make tzitzis, and the tzitzis are always amrahu, are always wool. So obviously tzitzis can be made out of wool, and tzitzis, there is no problem with shatness. Ask the Gemara, my tchilas amrahu, and what makes you say that tchilas has to be wool? Answers the Gemara, because the Torah, when it speaks about the different materials that are used to make the Bigdei Kohuna, the Torah speaks about tzemer, and sheish. Sheish we know is kitna. And tchilas, the Torah says, tchilas v'agomim v'slash shani v'sheish. So we see that the tchilas is not sheish. It must be amrahu, it must be wool. Says the Gemara, itzrich. So if that's the case, the Torah says tchelis. So of course it has to be, allows those tzitzis should be made out of shatness. Why do we have to have a special limud? Answers the Gemara, itzrich. Salkadat chamina, karava. Because maybe we would assume that what Rava taught us is correct. The Rava Rami, Rava asked the following question. Ksiv hakonof. The pasuk when it speaks about tzitzis, says hakonof, which means to say, min konof, that the strands of the tzitzis should be made out of the same material as the beged. But then on the other hand, the Torah says, Ksiv tzemer pashtin. The Torah says, l'tzel b'sham shat tzemer pashtin yachtav gedilim tasloch. So we see that the chutei tzitzis are made out of wool or linen. Hakeitzad, how do we understand these two psukim? On one hand, it seems that the tzitzis should be made at the same material as the beged. The other pasuk seems to teach us that the tzitzis should be made out of wool or linen. How do we understand it? Tzemru pishtin, when we have the strands made out of wool or linen, poitrin bein miminon bein shlo miminon. It doesn't make a difference what material the beged is made out of. The tzitzis that are wool or linen are always going to be kosher tzitzis. Mishaminen, minon p'taitrim, shloim minon p'taitrim. By other types of strands, there the halacha will be, if it's the strands are the same material as the beged, it's fine. If it's not the same material as the beged, it's not fine. So therefore, hakonof min konof, we would tell us that maybe if the beged is wool, make wool tzitzis. But if it's not, make a different type of material. But as the Gemara, that's why we need the pasuk. That's why we need Sam and Peshtun to teach us that we're always allowed to have klayim. But as the Gemara, for Tana, the Beir Shmuel, Lesley, the Rava, he doesn't hold of the limud of a konof min konof. So why would Rabbi Shmuel assume that you don't, that you can make the tzitzis out of any material as long as it's the same as the beged? And the itzrich. Sakadatach, I mean, kidiyuka derava, hakonof min konof, hakkam rachmana. Ovelate semer le tsemer, pishtin le pishtin, vichivarat et semer le tsemer, tsave, when you make a wool, when you have a wool beged, and you'll have wool tzitzis, dye that wool, those wool strands, tchelis. Avel, tsemer le pishtin, but if you're going to, avel tsemer le pishtin, to put wool strands on a linen beged, or pishtin litzemer, or linen strands on a wool beged loy. That's why kasser chmona tzemer a pishtin. That's why the Torah had to write tzemer a pishtin. Da filu tzemer le pishtin, pishtin litzemer. And that's why these words are here to teach us that shatness is mutter. But ask the Gemara, teinich le Rabbi Shmuel. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, the words tzemer a pishtin are superfluous. So that's how we can learn. They're there to teach us. However, the Rabbanon, who disagree with Rabbanon, and they don't hold that wherever the Torah, they disagree with Rabbi Shmuel, and they don't hold that wherever the Torah uses the word beged, it automatically means tzemer pishtin. So therefore, the words tzemer pishtin aren't extra. So if they're not extra, because here to teach us that that's what a beged means, that shatness is only wool and linen, so they're not extra. And we're saying if they're not extra, we can't learn smuchim. If they're not extra, we can't learn smuchim. Menole, from where will the Rabbanon learn the din of, from where will the Rabbanon learn the din of Esa Doicha Loisa say? Where do we have that?